Beautiful, beautiful song. And all the song service is going to go so well with what we're talking about today. I hope you can hear me because I can. I forgot to put my hearing aids in this morning. Take a look at Revelation chapter 14, if you will. Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to be concerning ourselves with verses 9 through 13 to start with. So let's see what John has to say. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Today, I'm going to be talking about the destiny of the dead. There are two ways you can die. You can either die in the Lord, or you can die out of the Lord. You can die as a child of God, or you can die as a child of Satan. Folks, the most amazing time you will ever experience is the first 5 minutes after you die. Loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place. 5 minutes after I die. But faces that sorrow I will not see, voices that murmur they won't reach me. But oh, where will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Not to repair the good I lack, fixed to my goal and my chosen track, no room to repent, no turning back. 5 minutes after I die, mated with forever with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh, so long. Then woe is me if my soul is wrong 5 minutes after I die. What a tragedy it would be to die outside the Lord. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Folks, I'd rather preach 5,000 sermons on John 3:16 than to preach this sermon. But if I don't preach the whole Bible, I do you an injustice. I don't write it, I just preach it. And when I think about the horrors that await the unsaved dead, I just want to say, God, I really don't want to preach that. But then I remember what the Apostle Paul said as recorded in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." It's not just the lost who need to hear this message, folks. It's the church, those who are satisfied, those who are well-fed, those who are well-dressed, those who have neighbors who are lost. They also need to hear this message. Some people think that if a preacher preaches on hell, somehow he has a mean streak in him. And they label him a hellfire preacher. I want to tell you that the greatest preacher who ever walked the earth was also the most loving person who ever walked the earth. His name is Jesus, and he had more to say about hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more about hell than he did about heaven. Some people say that there is no hell, and they try to explain it away. But Proverbs 28, verse 5 says, evil men understand not judgment. They mock the idea of eternal judgment. Friend, I want to tell you something. You can laugh your way into hell, but you will never, never laugh your way out of it. There is a hell. The Word of God declares it. Jesus taught it. Common sense dictates that there has to be a place where God can punish sin. I want to use this passage as a springboard to see what other passages have to say about the destiny of the dead, especially those who die outside of the Lord. What's hell going to be like? You know, this passage tells us that there are some who've taken the mark of the beast, and in doing so, they've espoused a certain philosophy of life. Let me tell you, hell, first of all, is going to be a place of vile associations. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And let's see who's going to be in hell. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, when a man takes the mark of the beast, he identifies himself with the beast, and he'll find himself in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. It doesn't say where they were, it says where they are. As we study the book of Revelation and we get all the way over into Revelation chapter 20, we're not there yet, but when we get there, you'll see that the beast and the false prophet have already been in hell for 1,000 years by that time. They're not annihilated. They don't disintegrate. They're not burned to cinders. It's a place where they will forever be tormented day and night. And friend, if you go to hell, you're going to go to the same hell where the beast, the false prophet, and the devil are. Now, the devil's not there yet. Beast and false prophet, they're put there at the beginning of the millennium. The devil will be put there at the close of the millennium. And all who go to hell get a one-way ticket. The devil is, I want to break this misconception right now. The devil is not Lord over hell. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rules three worlds. He rules heaven above, earth below, and hell beneath, and every knee in all three of those worlds is going to bow, and every tongue in all three of those worlds is going to confess that he is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Hell is a place of vile associations, and while we're on that thought, I want you to look at Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Mark Twain used to say, I'll take heaven for the climate, and take hell for the company. Well, we've just seen what the company in hell is going to be like. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, I don't like to go to church because there's so many hypocrites there. Well, friend, if you die and go to hell, you're going to spend eternity with every hypocrite that ever lived. Hell is a place also where it's a separation from the saints of God. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. In other words, these folks are in a different place. And in Revelation 21, 27, God describes the New Jerusalem. And he says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So in hell, you'll be eternally separated from God's people. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 28, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and look, you yourselves are thrust out. That brings up an interesting question. What will it be like if you're in heaven and you know that you have an unsaved loved one in the torments of hell? Well, here's your answer. The Bible says that when we see Jesus, we will be like him. We're going to be so much like Jesus that it'll seem a righteous judgment that Jesus pronounces on those who deny him. It's going to be a righteous thing to us that those who paid no heed to the fact that Jesus died in agony and blood on the cross should suffer in hell. Mister, if you go to hell, even your mother, your saved mother, will pronounce a curse on your head as you drop into the pit. Your little children who begged for you to be saved are going to say it's right for you to be separated for all eternity from the Lord that you spent your life denying. So if you have loved ones who want you to be saved, don't despise them. Thank God for them. They're trying to save you from this place. There was a young man who was getting ready to go out for a night of sin. And he became aggravated when he went over to the table where his car keys were, and his godly mother had laid a Christian tract there where his keys were, and he picked that thing up and swore an oath, and he said, you know, when I got on the bus this afternoon coming home from work, somebody handed me one of these things. And now you hand me one. Is there not any place I can go where nobody would be handing these things to me? And with a quivering chin, his mother said, yes, son, you can go to hell. Nobody's going to try to witness to you there. That's true. Hell's not just a place of vile associations. It's a place where we're going to be separated forever from those who love us and pray for us and witness to us and care for us. It's also a place of eternal darkness. Look at how God describes the city of heaven in Revelation 21, verses 23 and 24. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. In contrast, those who go to hell are going to walk in eternal darkness. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of what? Darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Back in the 1960s, my family and I went down to Carlsbad Caverns to take a tour of that massive cave down there. We got deep into that cave, and somebody flipped the switch off. And I am not exaggerating, folks. The darkness was so heavy you could feel it. I put my hand up like that. I couldn't see my hand. There was no light. They tell me they don't do that anymore because in our snowflake generation, everybody gets all panicky about that. People's hearts were failing them. But they used to do that. That's what hell's going to be like. Heaven's a place of eternal light. But can you imagine spending an eternity in a place where light can never reach? Robert Sumner said growing up he lived next to a family who was ungodly. And at some point, one of the sons in that family got sick and they knew he wasn't going to make it. And this son was deathly afraid of the grave. And before he died, he made his father promise. He said, "Dad, I don't want to go down in that dark grave and be down there in darkness forever." He says, "I want you to promise that you're going to put a window in my grave. You can go back to that place today and see that that father, as best he knew how, fashioned a window in his son's grave. But I want to tell you, when a lost man goes to hell, there'll be no window to let the light in." Jesus calls it a place of eternal darkness. Now, the Bible tells us that the Lamb is the light of heaven. That's Jesus. And there's no need of the sun or the moon. But not only is hell a place of eternal darkness, it's a place of eternal dying. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this was the second death." You see, when a lost man dies, his body goes to the grave, and that's called death. But his spirit goes to hell, which is a place for spirits outside of Christ. And at the resurrection and judgment of the unsaved dead, the grave gives up the body and hell gives up the spirit. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." In other words, a man is resurrected, he's placed back into his resurrected body, he is cast bodily into the place called the lake of fire, and the Bible calls that the second death. Death, again, does not mean annihilation. Death means separation. And the Bible tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. Was he annihilated? Was Jesus annihilated? No, he wasn't annihilated. He was separated. That's why the Bible says that Jesus said from the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was separated. Death is not primarily the separation of the soul from the body. It's the separation of the spirit from God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what is this vengeance? We'll look at verse 9. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." What's the next word? From what? "From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That is the hell of hell. Being separated from the presence of the Lord. The lost will be cut off. They'll be separated. That's eternal death. They'll be separated from the God who loves them and called them and wanted to save them. Hell's also a place of despair. Why? Because of all these other things that we've talked about. Because they're true. Revelation 14, verse 10 through 11. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. One of the largest cults in America, in the world, goes door to door trying to tell people that there is no everlasting punishment in hell. But this verse tells us that there is everlasting punishment. They have no rest, day or night, forever. And because it's a place where there's never any rest, and because it's a place of everlasting punishment, hell is a place of everlasting despair. Try to imagine what it would be like to know that hope is forever gone. See, as long as you're alive, there's hope. But in hell, there is no hope. It's also a place of torment in flame. Do you have loved ones who don't know Jesus Christ? I want to tell you something. When those clods are falling on their casket, it's going to be too late to witness to them. Now, I have to admit, the fear of hell is not the best motivation for trying to get somebody saved. The love of God is the best motivation for trying to get somebody saved. But you know what? If you get saved just because you don't want to go to hell, that's part of Gary's testimony. If you get saved just because you don't want to go to hell, that'll thrill me to death. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, Jesus said, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it's better for thee to go into life maimed than having two hands and go to hell into the fire that never shall be quenched." In other words, it's better to be a crippled saint than a whole sinner. Now, obviously, you don't have to cut off your hand or pluck out your eye to go to heaven. All you need to do is receive Jesus. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can die in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You ought to have this passage underlined in your Bible. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Some people try to tell us that God created some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. That is a lie. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. We just read from God's own word that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But he gives you a will. He didn't make you a robot programmed to do his will. He gave you a free will to choose him or reject him. God's put every kind of roadblock imaginable on the road to hell. Jesus is there with his nail-pierced hands, pleading with you not to go to hell. The saints in heaven are pleading for you. The Bible's pleading for you. Angels are pleading for you. This sermon is pleading for you not to go to hell. God loves you. He does not want you to perish. Friend, you can look up in the night sky and every star you see tells you about Jesus, the bright and morning star, who can save you from hell. This spring, as the flowers bloom, every flower you see can remind you of Sharon's fairest rose and the lily of the valley, who doesn't want you to go to hell. You can look down at the sidewalk or on the ground or in your driveway, and every stone you see will remind you of the Rock of Ages who wants to keep you out of hell. God's doing everything he can to keep you out of hell. And you're going to have to go around, climb over, tunnel beneath, bust through every roadblock. I mean, friend, you're going to go to hell sweating if you go to hell, just trying to get around the roadblocks God's putting your way. You don't want to go to hell. Don't go there. The choice is yours. God's done everything possible to keep you from that place. But in his wisdom, he chose to give you that free will. And I believe the reason for it, he said the reason he created man in the first place, so he could have somebody to have fellowship with. And he wanted somebody to have a free will because he wanted them to have the choice. You don't want somebody that's mandated or forced to love you. You want somebody who chooses on their own to love you. And God's no different. He gave you a will to choose him or reject him. What are you going to do? You'll never be able to come to the judgment bar of God and say you didn't have a chance. You've had every chance in the world. Just being here on one of these pews today is all the chance that you'll ever need. You'll never be able to give an excuse. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. And friend, if you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, you need to do it now. Time's running out. What are we going to sing, Gary?
182.
182. Let's stand. Shut out everything around you. You've heard me say it before. I wonder if you have the courage. Just draw a circle around yourself right now, imaginary circle. Do you have the courage to say, God, revive everything in this circle or kill it? Because life's just not worth living without you. You trust him enough to pray that prayer? If you need to come, you come as we sing.
Thank you.
hope you'll stay for the lunch that the youth have prepared, and you'll have an opportunity to get to know Jessica and James, and we're so tickled to have you guys here today, and we're looking forward to when you get to come here and get started. So everybody will want to mingle with them during lunch today. Gary?
Before we pray, I'm wondering how many of you know that you have lost ones, friends or loved ones, families that are lost. Would you raise your hand? Okay, I want to pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message. We thank you, Lord, that you don't mince words, that you give us the truth, because we need to know the truth. There's nothing more important than our spirit. Not money, not wealth, not entertainment. Nothing is more important. And Lord, I just ask now, we've raised our hands and we have loved ones on our minds. Lord, I pray that you would create in their spirit a fear that they're going to die and go to hell. Lord, give them dissatisfaction. Help them to search. And Lord, we pray that you will come with a peace that passes no understanding, that you will come with a knowledge that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by you. You are the only way. We thank you, Lord, for what you did for us, that you died and went to hell for us. You suffered for us. You were separated from God the Father. Lord, I can't imagine what that would have been like for you, but you were willing to do it, and we thank you. So we lift our loved ones up to you, Lord. I lift everyone up in this church, in this city, in this state, in this nation, and in the world, Lord. I pray that people will become dissatisfied with the lives they're living and until they meet Christ, Lord. That's our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.